The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Okay, our first reading is a reading from 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak. Say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he said, "here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 139 responsively. Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me.
You know my life.
Trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is.
Compass me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. You yourselves created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I will thank you.
My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my limbs, and I'm finished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. My days were fashioned.
How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them.
If I were to come
to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both, one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city Andrew and Peter were from. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Month or 6 weeks, recommended a restaurant or shared a recipe with a friend. Have you, in that same period of time, suggested a book or a play or a movie to a family member or a colleague? And one more. Have you shared a website or an app or invited someone to play Words with Friends or Candy Crush? Say a lot. Come and see. I got something to tell you. I want to share this. I had this experience. I found these great new cookies. When we've had a good experience or heard or seen something that really touched us or moved us, we want to share that. Come and see. We invite when we have experienced something and we want others, especially others that we care about, to experience it too. Come and see. These words of invitation form the heart, not simply of the opening scene in today's gospel, but really they form the heart of the whole of John's gospel. John's gospel story is built around
encounters that Jesus has with
numbers of different numbers of people. Again and again, from the early disciples that we just heard about in today's reading, to Nicodemus, the man who finds Jesus in the night, to the woman at the well, to Peter making his confession, even to Pilate in his encounter with Jesus, and then after the resurrection, to Thomas. John writes his gospel in a way that shows us the diversity, not only in the kind of people who come to Jesus or that Jesus reaches out to, but also the diversity in the kinds of responses that people offer. John's gospel opens the door for us to consider what kind of a response we might make to Jesus' invitation. In chapter after chapter of John's gospel, there are men and women, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, powerful and vulnerable, people of all kinds, of faith, of no faith at all, that Jesus meets. And to each one of them, in one way or another, Jesus says the same thing. Come and see. Come and see God do a new thing. Come and see your future open up. Come and see the grace of God that's made available to all. Come and see that the welcome and the promise is for you. Some do respond to that invitation, and they follow. Some are skeptical or confused, or simply choose not to follow Jesus, to accept his offer. And some not only follow, but they invite others to come and see, to follow as well. In today's reading, we hear a few of those different possibilities. John the Baptist, who testified that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one appointed to take away the sins of the world. And John, so convinced, tells his followers, there he is. There he is. Follow him. That's the Lamb of God. That's Jesus. That's the Messiah. Follow him. And several do. His disciples become the disciples of Jesus. One, in Andrew, goes to find his brother Peter and tell him. Jesus goes to Galilee and he calls Philip. Probably Philip was one of John's disciples as well. He was from the same town as Peter and Andrew, so they knew each other. They were fishermen, same trade. They were partners, not partners in the same boat, but they raced together every Wednesday. They knew each other from the yacht club. Philip follows Jesus, but he doesn't leave it at that. He seeks out Nathanael, another buddy of his, and he invites him to come too. So we get these different responses from eager, like Andrew, who runs to get his brother, or Philip, who runs to get his friend. There is an eagerness to follow and to share that good news. We get that kind of response. Then we get the kind of response from Nathanael. He's almost rude. What? Anything good can come out of Nazareth? Huh. I doubt that. What? How could they be good? They're a Raiders fan. They could not possibly be any good. So Nathanael's skeptical and rude. And yet, each is invited. Invited by Jesus, some invited by others. But all are invited to come and see. And eventually, they see and come to follow. Come and see. Such easy, warm, hospitable words. Come and see. That gentle invitation is at the heart of John's gospel. And it is at the heart of all Christian evangelism. It's not our call to cram our faith down the throat of another. It's not our call to try to scare the devil out of somebody with threats of hell and damnation. We are called, rather, to simply offer an invitation. Come and see. Come and see that what God is still doing in and through Jesus, in and through this community of disciples who have decided to follow him. Now, unless you were born into a church-going family and have maintained that habit of Sunday worship all through your life, you can probably point to one person who invited you to come and see. You probably know as well as I do that the key factor influencing a person to attend church for the first time is a personal invitation. It's not the size or the reputation of the church. It's not the size or the style of the building. It's not the service times or the kind of worship or the quality of music. It's not the brand of coffee that's served during fellowship. It's not even the fantastic preaching of the pastor. All of those things have value, but the one reason that people give for coming to church for the first time is that they received a personal invitation. Someone invited them to attend. And just as Philip said to Nathaniel, come and see, someone said that to you or to your mentor, your parents or your grandparents, and built that habit into you. But somebody invited, come and see. This means that the future of the church depends on ordinary Christians, everyday Christians, Christians like you and me. The future of the church depends on us calling others to come and see. At St. Peter's, we've been saying all are welcome for a long time. We say it in our words. We say it in our accessible, open building. We say it in the forms of an easy-to-understand, easy-to-follow bulletin in large and in small print. And we say it at the communion table. And we mean it when we say all are welcome at St. Peter's by the Sea. But the trouble is, you have to be here to hear that. All are welcome. Our job as Christians is to extend that invitation to people who aren't here. But before you ever invite someone, you have to be clear on what you're inviting them to an experience or a sharing. You have to know what you're inviting people to be welcome to. That was a greatly convoluted sentence, but I think you know what I'm saying. Before you ever invite, you have to be clear on what you are inviting someone to experience or share with you. Let me ask you one more question. What's your favorite thing about the life we share in this faith community? Now, if you would be willing, find that piece of blue paper that's in the, there's blue paper in the pews. In the pew. Find that piece of blue paper and write the answer to this question. And if this is your first time at St. Peter's, you can answer the question, why did you come today? What's your favorite thing about St. Peter's and the life we share as a church family? What's your favorite thing? I think it's important for us to be able to identify the aspects of our community that draw you to this church. You can't say come and see unless you've thought about your experience and what you want others to experience. Why would you want someone to experience this church? So would you just write down your favorite thing about the church and our church family? Is it too much to say that the future of our church depends on our ability to invite others to come and see what we found in our church? But don't worry. Don't feel the burden of that. Listen to this good news. The future of the church is, without doubt, in the hands of God. The same Spirit that descended on Jesus at baptism is still working through us. The Spirit that inspired Philip and Andrew, who reached out through their efforts to call others, who overcame even a rude and skeptical hesitancy of Nathaniel, that same Spirit is still working, affecting all kinds of people in the world to hear that invitation to come and see. And that same Spirit is allowing them to follow. And that same Spirit is giving us the courage and the ability to say, come and see, to a world that is yearning and hungering for a word of welcome and invitation. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, that we may see and taste the grace of God afresh. Come, Holy Spirit, that we might share the grace of God with others. Come, Holy Spirit, that we might bear witness with our whole lives to the grace of God shown and made accessible to us in Jesus. Amen. I'd love to read those blue papers that you wrote. No names necessary, but if you're willing, drop it in the offering plate when that plate goes by.